Good afternoon, everybody. Sorry for the slight delay. If I can ask you to all pay attention as we're going to the meeting. Thank you. So welcome, everyone, to the Planning Committee of the 22nd of February 2022. If I introduce you to our top table, myself, I'm Councillor Vicky Gould. On my left-hand side, I have my legal representative, Sherry Grant. On her left, I have our Head of Service, Sal Khan. Over around the corner, we have our Democratic Services Officer, Monica Henchcliffe. To my right, I have my Planning Officers, Alan Harvey and James Maitley. If I can ask our Planning Committee to introduce themselves, starting over on my left-hand side.
Councillor Ray Faulkner. There you go.
Councillor Beryl Toon.
Councillor Ed Barker.
Councillor Chris Sylvester.
Councillor Becky Brady.
Councillor Greg Hall.
Councillor Bev Ashcroft.
Good afternoon, Councillor Alison Legg.
Councillor Ken Bill.
Councillor Louise Walker.
Councillor Sheila McKeonan.
Councillor Helen Hall.
Councillor Graham Lamb.
Thank you, everyone. A polite reminder for everyone to please switch off the mobile phone so we have no distractions. We're not planning a fire alarm, but if we do hear one, if you can escape through your nearest door, we'll move our way out into the car park. And a polite notice not to call out when individuals are speaking, as it prevents others from hearing the debate. Do we have any apologies for absence, please?
Councillor Metcalfe.
Thank you. Any declarations of interest, please? Councillor Bills.
Yeah, I'd like to declare an interest in 5-1, as I live opposite the site, and quite a few people are affected by it. And I have declared interest in previous applications on this site as well.
Okay. Councillor Bells, can I just clarify, are you going to not take part in the debate, or are you...
When the item comes up, I'll leave the room and...
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bells. Any further declarations? No? If we go to item three, would members please accept the minutes from the last meeting, which was held on the 21st of December 2021. If I propose those, can I have a seconder? Councillor Sylvester. Okay, all those in favour, please. Any against? And any abstentions? Thank you. So that's carried. Agenda item four, any urgent business to be brought to the committee? No, we have no urgent business. So we will move on to the applications for planning permission that we're going to consider. At this point, would Councillor Bills like to leave? So we move on to application P2021-01053, and if I hand over to James to present to the group, please.
Thank you, Chair. So as described, this is a planning reserve matters application for 288 dwellings submitted by Persimmon Homes, and the matters for consideration are details in relation to access, appearance, landscaping, layout and scale, given that the application is a reserve matters and the principle of development has been established by the original outline approval. Sorry, this presentation was a bit slow then. So this is a constraints plan which shows the application site. In red is the settlement boundary within the area. In blue is the area of the original outline planning permission, and in black is the quite complicated application site boundary in relation to this reserve matters consent. Members will see that Beam Hill Road is located to the north of the site, To the west is Outwoods Lane, to the south is Fields Lane, and to the east is existing residential development located off Furrows Drive and the surrounding estate. Kitlin Greaves Lane is also located to the east of the site and extends within the application site boundary. This is a strategic landscape plan of the site, which shows the areas of residential development within the northeast parts of the site and also centrally within the eastern parts of the site. The scheme also includes details in relation to on-plot landscaping and large areas of strategic landscaping in principally in the south and west of the site. And members will also see the other residential phases of development located to the on the northern boundary, which have been to this planning committee and been given previous consent. So the photographs are based on the arrows which are on the strategic landscape plan. So this is a view of the site looking south towards Outwoods Lane. We've then got another photograph showing from Outwoods Lane easterly into the site where a cycle path would be formed. There's a public footpath in this part of the site, and there's two photographs showing existing phases of development which have been granted consent. Access will be provided from Beam Hill Road in the location shown on this photograph, and would incorporate the demolition of two existing two-storey properties. Details of this have been approved already under the outline permission in terms of the location of the access. A couple of photographs from the eastern part of the site off Furrows Drive towards the application site, and showing an existing informal pedestrian route which runs close to Furrows Drive. And then within the application site, looking in a southerly direction, within the application site looking towards existing properties that back onto Beam Hill Road, there's an area of buffer landscaping here, and there would be some landscape removal in this part of the site, but a buffer would remain to those properties on Beam Hill Road. From within the application site, looking in a southerly direction towards Kitlin Greaves Lane, and from Kitlin Greaves Lane, looking in a southerly direction towards other parcels of residential development proposed as part of this application. It's a view from the application site towards Kitlin Greaves Lane, and again from Kitlin Greaves Lane, looking in a northerly direction, showing the topography of the site. And that's from Kitlin Greaves Lane, looking in a southerly direction with Field Lane in the beyond. This is a part of Kitlin Greaves Lane that's currently as track and overgrown. As part of the application site, it's proposed to upgrade and enhance this track through the site with a 3 metre wide greenway. And a final couple of photographs are from the southern parts of the site off Field Lane, looking towards areas of the site that would be a community park would be formed with public access through it. And finally, back towards the application site and the other phases of development that you can see in the background. This is a slide just showing the planning history and some of the constraints on the site. So the blue hatching is the original extent of the outline approval. The pink hatching is the original reserve matters application that was permitted, that granted permission for 270 dwellings. There's then a yellow area of the site, which was a separate reserve matters consent that was granted permission for 70 dwellings. And the final residential phase that came before planning committee at the last meeting, in blue as well. So what we're dealing with tonight is the last phase of residential development as part of the outline approval that would take us up to the 950 dwelling figure that was granted by that original approval. Got a composite site layout here. I'm not sure how well members can see that, but we have got some slides where we'll zoom in a bit further so we can see in more detail. Shows the areas of residential development in the northern and central and eastern parts of the site. There's a SUDS feature also shown centrally within the site. The local centre and the area for the school and the playing fields are outside of the site boundary of this application and would be subject to future applications to come forward at a separate period of time. And there's also, on this plan, we can see the areas of strategic landscaping in the southern parts of the site and the network that would be provided around it to provide recreation and amenity. So we've just got some zoomed in shots of the site now. So this is in the northern part of the site. We can see the access off Beam Hill Road, the properties with on-plot landscaping shown amongst properties, and the more strategic areas of landscaping shown in the northern parts of the site. And again, this zoomed in version of the site, which shows it linking in with other reserve matters phases of development. There have been some amended plans submitted as part of this application to improve the design of some of the properties and the layout, and we'll come on to them in later slides. And the final phase of development, final zoomed in plan, which shows residential parcels in the eastern part of the site, the Suds feature in the north, and the community amenity areas in the south of the site with existing residential development off Kitling Greaves Lane to the east. So, as I said previously, this is the strategic landscape plan which shows the site in its wider context and also shows the proposed planting in the western and southern parts of the site. Within this northwestern part of the site is an existing public footpath which would be retained and would link in with other public footpaths which are located outside of the application site. There is a greenway proposed which would run east-west across the site and provide a cycle route from Kitling Greaves Lane in the east of the site, skirting around the existing Suds feature and coming out on Outwoods Lane. In terms of housing mix, there's a range of different property sizes across the site. And the majority of these properties would be three-bed properties, but as you can see from the schedule there, that there is a mix across the site. Got some elevation plans showing the types of properties which will be provided on the site. So this is a standard house type example of Persimmon Homes, which has been approved on some other phases of development by the committee previously. Again, another standard house type from Persimmon. We've also provided a slide which shows the house type of an affordable property. Hopefully gives members some comfort that what's being proposed for the affordable properties is similar in terms of its quality compared to the standard house types. If I just flick back. Nope. Yeah, so not very good at flicking back, but hopefully you can see the point that's being made there. This is an image of the enhanced house types which Persimmon have provided following officer concern over some of the more prominent plots on the site and the need to improve the design of those properties. So during the course of the application we did receive amended plans which shows some house types that have got timber gable detailing features to reflect the site's location in the National Forest and include some architectural features such as chimneys. And again, another enhanced house type. You can see the chimneys and the brick corbelling at lower brick plinth at lower level as well. Sorry. So the strategic landscape plan again, just showing that in its wider context. So members will have seen the full details of the consultations which have been carried out on the scheme in the main agenda item, just picking out some of the more pertinent consultation responses which have come in as part of this application. Anslow Parish Council have provided some comments which are on the update sheet which members be reminded to review in terms of the cycle and pedestrian networks. The Highway Authority have no objections to this application, and as we said previously, the actual position of the access off Beamer Road has been approved as part of the original outline approval.
The National Forest Company did raise objections originally to the scheme in terms of the fact that the greenway wasn't shown within the application site, and the developer amended the plans to include the greenway and to show the cycle path running through the application site, and some other concerns of the National Forest in terms of providing the enhanced timber features on some of the plots. Now got to a position where the National Forest Company are happy with both of those aspects of the development and the removal of some landscaping across the site in order to provide the dwellings and an acceptable amount of replacement landscaping going in, as shown on the previous strategic landscape plan. In terms of internal consultees, there's no objections received. Section 106 contributions are all covered under the original outline approval and are set out in the committee report. In terms of neighbour objections, there have been 16 in total, 13 on the original application and 3 since. They've raised a number of issues, principally in relation to impact on biodiversity, loss of landscaping, overlooking of existing properties, particularly on Beam Hill Road, vehicle access and pedestrian safety issues, density and pollution and hard surfacing issues. That these are covered in the original report in detail and also referred to in the update sheet. Policies of the MPPF and the local plan, schemes considered to comply with those policies set out on the slide and as detailed in the main report. So in terms of the principle of development, as mentioned previously, this has been established by the original 2013 plan application, which was subject to numerous conditions and a Section 106 legal agreement, which remain in place. So the matters for consideration at this afternoon's meeting relate to the reserve matters, which are the internal access, the landscaping, the scale, appearance and layout of the properties which are to come forward. In terms of the design and impact on the character of the area, the main report sets this out on the basis of the amended plans which have been received. Officers consider that a suitable scheme would come forward, similar in terms of its design and character as other residential phases of development which have been granted planning permission on the site. In terms of amenity, there's been some neighbour concerns regarding overlooking and distances to existing properties. Members will see from the main report that the actual distances to those properties are set out in detail. For example, there is a 46 metre distance between proposed properties in the northeastern part of the site and the rear elevations of properties on Beam Hill Road. Highway matters, County Highway Authority have responded to the application and raised no concerns, given that the access and highway safety and junction analysis of the application has all been covered with the original approval. There's no heritage assets in close proximity to the site. In terms of flood risk and drainage, again, the outline planning permission covered this matter in detail, and that application was accompanied by a flood risk assessment. There's a condition on the original outline application which requires each phase of development to submit a detailed foul and surface water drainage scheme before development can commence on that site, and those details would need to be agreed to the satisfaction of the relevant consultees, which would be the Severn Trent Water and the Leeds Local Flood Authority. In terms of biodiversity and trees, as set out in the main report, there will be some removal of landscaping and individual trees as part of this proposal. That is as was originally envisaged with the outline approval. The residential parcels which have come forward are in the same location as set out on the outline approval. And principally, on this particular matter, the National Forest Company, we've sought guidance from them in terms of the loss of the landscaping and what's going back to replace it. And on the basis of the amended plans, National Forest Company are now satisfied that an acceptable landscaping scheme will be provided on the site. Sorry about that. Keyboard's a bit dodgy. In terms of the conclusions, the scheme's considered to comply with the parameters of the original outline consent. The section 106 would still need to be complied with in the usual manner, and the policies in the local plan, the neighbourhood plan, and all the relevant supplementary planning documents is considered to be satisfied in this instance. We've worked proactively with the developer in order to get improvements as part of the application, and it's therefore recommended that the application be approved in accordance with the conditions set out in the main report. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, James. I'll move on to the public speaking part of our agenda then. So if we move on to Mrs. Tina O'Rourke, please. Good afternoon, Mrs. O'Rourke. Right, you have 3 minutes when you start. I will have my colleague here just timing it, and it'll let us know when you're getting really close. Is that okay? If you just press your button when you're ready to go, when it's on red, we're all good, we can hear. Thank you.
This application shows two proposed paths exiting on Outwards Lane, a footpath and a cycle path. The two hedgerows that this would have to be removed are recorded in application 429 as important hedgerows and so protected by the hedgerow regulation of 1997. CPRE states strong presumption is that important hedgerows will be protected. Unless satisfied that the removal is justified, the authority must refuse permission. So what is the justification? These paths do not provide necessary access. An existing public footpath runs onto Beam Hill Road, where there are bus stops and a postbox. Improve this neglected existing path instead. There is nothing where the new one is proposed. The cycle path crosses the public footpath in two places and then exits on Outwards Lane. An existing bridle path just metres away runs to the west and to the south. This could be linked into and improved. This new cycle path gives no benefit. It leads nowhere and there are no other cycle paths in that area. Safety issues. Outwards Lane is narrow, used by horse riders, heavy farm traffic. There is no lighting and there are no footpaths. Both paths would undoubtedly attract problems such as littering, dog mess, dumping, etc., which the council will have to deal with. Natural England and the NFC have raised no objections. Indeed, they say a positive improvement will be made, but they refer to the removal and replacement of hedgerows and trees located centrally within the site, not these important hedgerows to the west. Please have the footpath and cycle path removed from the plan, then the small green areas on the north and west sides would be uninterrupted, landscape buffer zone giving a more rural appearance and allowing lost wildlife to re-establish. Three important hedgerows were identified. Can the committee ensure these two are not damaged to create pointless pathways and, most importantly, ensure they do not permit contravention of the hedgerow regulation? The NPPF states that permission should be refused for developments of poor design. Please consider these 6 points. Why allow two new roads to cross a public footpath in such a short distance? Is the high proportion of frontage car parking considered acceptable? The buffer zone to the west of the public footpath is 11 metres wide, not as stated. New properties face the rear of existing. Surely gardens should be there to allow... not frontages where lighting, cars, people, noise, etc. hinder privacy and re-establishing wildlife. Are emergency vehicles able to reach the extremities of this estate? This is on my October objection and the plans have been changed. Is adding a few new appliance turning points using house frontage parking, is that satisfactory? The further from the centre, the more compact this estate becomes, including this 288-unit application. This dense estate is not in keeping with the area, clearly seen when viewing plans in relation to surrounding properties. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. O'Rourke. Excuse me, Mrs. O'Rourke.
Okay.
Right. I would like to call Mrs. Georgina Doyle. Just bear with us a moment. No. So good afternoon, Mrs. Doyle. You have 3 minutes when you're ready.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the opportunity to speak this afternoon. My name is Georgina Doyle and I'm the agent acting on behalf of Persimmon Homes on this application. The application before you is a reserved matter of application dealing with the details of access, appearance, layout and scale for 288 dwellings. I know I've previously presented to you members previous phases of this application and they were always just in housing blocks, whereas I'm quite pleased to present to you this evening the fourth phase, but also the wider landscaping that brings the whole of the allocation together. The proposal includes a wide range of 1 to 5 bedroom properties and 44 affordable homes, which completes the overall requirement for the allocation. The proposal also includes the full extent of landscaping across the allocation. The extensive landscaping, national forest planting and a play area demonstrate the landscape-led nature of the overall allocation. The landscaping provides a wide network of footpaths and spaces, as much existing planting has been retained, and further planting is proposed to create a significant landscape buffer to the south and west of the site. The development will be built by Persimmon Homes, who have already demonstrated their commitment to delivering high-quality developments in the area through the first phase of this development that was approved by members in 2020. We have worked positively and proactively with the case officer throughout the application process to make improvements to the layout in terms of the design of some of the dwellings, which have incorporated chimneys and featured timber work, as well as ensuring that the layout responds positively to the adjacent landscaping. Additional footpath links have also been included in the landscaping to give local people as much access as possible to the landscaped areas. The principle of housing development in the Upper Outwards Farm site is already established through its allocation in the adopted East Staffordshire Local Plan and by the extant outline planning permission granted in August 2014. We welcome the conclusions made by officers in their report, where they have confirmed that the proposal is in accordance with the outline planning permission, the local plan and neighbourhood plan, and the national planning policy framework. The report also fully addresses the concerns raised by residents and other parties. I would make the following comments on these matters. It is acknowledged that some landscaping will be removed between the proposed development and Beam Hill Road. This was always envisaged through the determination of the outline application. The landscaping that remains is still very substantial and would create a good landscaping buffer between the proposed and existing housing. Additionally, the gardens of the existing dwellings are still very long. The distance between the existing and the proposed dwellings continues to be above the required separation distances so as not to have a detrimental impact on existing properties. Other elements of the outline consent include the school and local centre. These will form part of separate applications. These are enshrined in the Section 106 agreement that ensures their provisions. 10 seconds, you say, sir. Discussions are already underway with the Educational Authority regarding the school, and that will be part of a future application that will come before you.
Thank you for that, Mrs. Doyle. Members will note that we have had an objection in writing. Now, as we have one of our objectors missing today, I will read this out to committee. So, this is from a Mr. Stuart Folder. We have formally objected to the proposal on previous occasions when invited to do so. One of our observations was the inconsistency when existing and proposed cycleways and bridle with existing and proposed cycleways and bridleways. That inconsistency has been addressed. We have also looked back to the outline application to which this reserved matters application refers, particularly in respect of highways and transport matters, sustainability and ecology. Our objection concerns the proposed footpath link from the development in the northwest corner of the site, which exits onto Outwards Lane, and the proposed cycle path labelled CP1 further south, which also exits onto Outwards Lane. Outwards Lane is a single track road which connects with Field Lane and then to Cali Road. The use of this road is discussed in the transport statement approved at Outline. It is acknowledged that the development won't directly access the lane with vehicles, and its status is reviewed in the statement. A 5-year review period is to be undertaken following the occupation of the first dwelling, with annual monitoring to ascertain whether the intensity of this use increases as a result of the development, is referred to in Section 106 agreements, with the potential to stop up both Atwoods Lane and Field Lane with turning facilities within the confines of the development site and at a cost to the developers. Much is made of the sustainability of the development, and that is positive. Improved bus services and a bus route through the development are probably a benefit to the wider area as well. Much is made of the availability of access to Burton Town Centre, the railway station, etc. Ecologists have reported on the significance of the site and its boundaries, existing hedgerows and the like identified as important. As residents of Anslow, we have the following concerns. Is access onto Atwoods Lane in the northern western corner of the site really necessary? The development is screened from the lane by landscaping to reduce the impact on the countryside and enhance the ecology of the area. The ecological benefits are likely to be reduced if the footpath is present. The sustainability argument fails to mention the village of Anslow. Again, is it really necessary? Atwoods Lane is a single-track road with grass verges on either side. The proposed path exits close to the junction with Beam Hill Road, Main Road, Anslow. The grass verges on the side are used regularly to enable vehicles to pass. The end of the footpath will introduce a hazard to the vehicle movements in the lane. The traffic report, which formed part of the outline application, was produced in 2013. Since then, traffic use in Field Lane and Atwoods Lane has increased significantly. There already exists a footpath link from the development to Beam Hill Road within approximately 150 metres of the junction with Atwoods Lane. This offers a safer exit from the development. Is a new cycle track with access to Atwoods Lane really necessary? Abutting the site and with a connection to the site is the existing bridleway to both Field Lane but also to Atwoods Lane. The proposed exit point onto Atwoods Lane is within 20 metres of the existing bridle path. It would make more sense to improve the existing bridle paths rather than create another path and exit onto Atwoods Lane. The proposed cycle track through the development does not connect to an existing cycle track at either end. We have no wish to prevent people walking or cycling on Atwoods Lane or Field Lane, but feel that this development could make better use of the existing highway network by considering the use of existing paths and bridleways. We will know that the outcome of the Section 106 agreement to review the position of Atwoods Lane and Field Lane as a rat run for... We will not know the outcome of the Section 106 agreement to review the position of Atwoods Lane and Field Lane as a rat run for another 5 years. It would be our wish to see this closed off to vehicles and used as a pedestrian and cycle route link in the future. We urge the committee to consider our suggestions in the wider context of the area in an effort to integrate the developments into the area. So, committee, we have heard the couple of objectors. We have heard from the agent. I would like to now throw it open to you with your comments and questions about this application. Okay, Councillor Faulkner.
This morning on site visit, we asked if the planning officer would be bringing certain information to us that was not included in the report. And I'm wondering if we can have an update on all the issues that we asked him about this morning, please.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Faulkner. Pass over to James.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Faulkner. I think one of the issues which was raised earlier was in terms of the total number of car parking spaces which were being provided on the site. So the answer to that question is 654 car parking spaces. That is for a scheme of 288 dwellings. Obviously, what members will need to be mindful of is that there's different car parking standards for different types of dwellings. So doing the figures based in the SPD, there should be a requirement for 655 spaces and there's 654. So there's a lack of one car parking space on the property, and that car parking space which is missing is a visitor space in relation to two flats within that part of the site. So there may be an opportunity for members to delegate that to officers to amend that part of the site to get an additional space put in to encompass the visitor space, which is not in accordance with the SPD. So hopefully that helps in terms of parking. Another query which was raised earlier was about the affordable housing percentages across different parts of the site and whether or not this scheme was acceptable in that regard. So the original outline approval was granted on the basis that there should be 15% across all of the site. Obviously we've had different phases and different amounts of affordable housing have come forward as part of those phases. So for example, the original phase that came forward only had 11% of affordable housing, but the second phase of 70 dwellings had 34% of affordable housing. So the requirement to make sure that the 15% is achieved across the whole of the site, there's a need for 44 properties to be provided as part of this reserve matters application. That is 15.28%. That gets you to the overall 15% for the whole of the site. So 44 properties are provided, and that gets you to 15 across the whole of the site. Another query which was raised earlier was about the amount of landscaping and whether members could be given a precise figure in terms of the number of trees which were being removed. So I have flagged this issue up with the applicant's agent, and have got a response back from the agent. So I'll read out the response that I've got if for members' benefit. So the developers responded to say that their ecologists have provided a response which says, the tree survey has been prepared in accordance with guidance contained within Chapter 4 of the British Standard Trees in relation to design, demolition and construction. Existing trees have been assessed and recorded as either individual specimens, groups of trees, woodlands and hedgerows as appropriate. The term tree group has been applied where trees from cohesive arboricultural features, visually or culturally, including biodiversity or habitat potential, for example. Individual trees within groups would only be recorded where there is a clear need to differentiate them. Groups of trees are therefore recorded and described for their collective presence, and in most cases would not record the precise number of trees which contribute to the group. So the response that's been provided there is that whilst we can't give a precise figure in terms of the number of trees which are being lost, from the plan that we can see on the screen, it does show in red the areas where landscaping would be removed in red, and it also shows the areas where replacement woodland planting would go back in hatched green areas. So members will be able to see on this plan that the amount of landscaping that's going back in far exceeds the landscaping which is being removed. And officers have sought guidance from the National Forest Company, obviously, on this matter, given that their role in ensuring the appropriate landscaping on the site. So we've been guided by their positive comments in relation to what's proposed as part of this particular plan application. So I'm not sure if there are any other issues which Councillor Faulkner wanted to flag up, but there are a few of the concerns which were raised this morning and some answers to them, hopefully.
Councillor Faulkner, are you happy with that?
I didn't ask all the questions, so I can't answer that question, but I'm not quite sure whether the answer on the trees will satisfy the councillor who asked the question.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to come across to Councillor Legge, because I know she did raise some points on that this morning.
Thank you. No, I'm not satisfied with your answer, officer. I think I don't care who you asked. All I asked for was how many trees were removed from the site altogether, because I am concerned that the Millennium Wood that was removed does need to be replaced, please. Thank you.
I was only going to add one point on this, just out of pure pragmatism and practicalities, is that given that the National Forest Company are involved, they would not be supporting an application that resulted in a loss of trees or didn't comply with their policies, because at the end of the day they are the body that we're looking to advise us on the delivery of the forest planting. So, you know, at the end of that's all I, you know, in terms of individual trees and numbers, etc., obviously they make a similar sort of assessment as which clearly follows the British standards line. Otherwise they would flag up a concern to the local planning authority. I can't really add any more on that aspect of it. That's just, you've just got to go with the statutory bodies that are in charge of those remits.
Thank you. Councillor Legg, would you like to come back? Okay. So, Councillor Hall.
Thank you, Chairman. I think this is quite an important issue for us to bottom out and to get some comfort before we make a decision. I think the comfort that Councillor Legg is looking for, obviously this planting scheme relates to the whole of the site and rather than just this phase of housing development. And so what she's looking for, I think, is comfort that the planting scheme as a whole has replaced everything that's been lost from the site. So on the plan today, the red areas show what is to be removed for this phase. It doesn't show what was removed from previous phases. And I think, you know, I understand, I accept that it's going to be impossible to get actual numbers of plants that have been removed. But I think if we could see the areas that have been removed on the previous elements or previous phases, that would give us some comfort, perhaps. Is that possible to see?
Thank you, Councillor Hall. Would you like to come in on that, Alan?
Yes, I'm sure. I mean, in terms of that level of detail, I mean, clearly that's not going to be able to be provided at this committee. I mean, that's a simple fact. The only question of it is whether members delegate that to clarify, or whether they, you know the solution. The only other way of doing it is to defer it and to look at it again next time as a specific figure.
Understood, thank you. Could I come back, Chairman, please?
Just while we're just talking on that one point, actually, Council members, we've also got to be aware that we've got Section 106 obligations. It is on. Can nobody hear me? Can you all hear me? Yeah, they can hear me. We've also got, I mean, National Forest provisions are within the Section 106 agreement as well, which requires, and it's quite detailed, actually, just looking at it, page 37, which means, obviously, that the schemes that's got to be permitted, and it gives the identifies, I think, with Councillor Legg's, the types of trees that have got to be planted within that area as well, so it's very specific on that. So I think that even though we've got conditions that relate to the overall scheme, we've also got Section 106 obligations that require the scheme to be it's quite detailed to go into now, but I just wanted to just make you aware that it's not just the conditions that you're looking at here. You are looking at Section 106 obligations that requires it. But the actual number, there isn't one in there because obviously it's very detailed information that's again, I agree with Alan. I mean, why would the National Forest want to do something that was going to go against what they require, I would imagine.
I'm going to come back to Councillor Hall first, and then I've got Councillor Legg.
Yeah, so I think what this comes down to then is the comfort that we need is to understand that National Forest have considered what was removed in the previous phases, not just what is proposed on that plan as to be removed in red today, but what's already gone from the site as well. And I think that's the point that Councillor Legg is quite rightly determined to get to, and to get an answer to. Because we don't know whether National Forest have considered the proposal in front of us today or the site as a whole.
Mm-hmm. And I think, hopefully I tried to answer that, Councillor Legg, this morning, is that they clearly do look at the cumulative effect of the overall development when they're looking at it, well, potentially. Well, we hope that's what they would do, because obviously how can you approve a scheme for in silo without looking at everything else when you've got to when you've got clearly got obligations here that I'm reading, and I am very much speed reading these obligations, so please don't enter me the detail that says that they've got to provide that overall landscaping scheme. So you would hope to think that the professionals who were involved would be doing that.
Right. Councillor Hall, has that answered in some way your comment before I pass on?
I think it's got to the nub of the discussion. I want to defer to Councillor Legg,
okay.
Please.
Councillor Legg, would you like to come back in, please?
Thank you. Yeah, if they'd just told us how many they are going to plant and how many they removed, I'd be happy with that. Thank you.
Okay. Would either of you like to come in?
She's put her hand up. So the agents.
Once we've decided what we're doing, I believe the agent has an answer that she can give to us. Would you like to take the seat? So on this specific issue of the landscaping, if you can clarify something on that,
please.
That's
right, yes. Yes, so as previously said, what's happened is there has been a barocultural survey undertaken, which has shown individual groups of trees that have been removed, and then the groups of trees are grouped, so they aren't numbers. That's how the professional barocultural has done his assessment on the site. But what they have said is that, of the individual groups of trees, 20 individual trees have been identified as being removed. And so they're the red circle spots. Can you see them dotted around and part of the layout? Of these, 9 were identified as category U trees, which are poor quality. Other areas of vegetation are shown to be removed, include some hedgerows, areas of tree and shrub, and part of the central woodland, which is just that red area there. That's right. And then to be replaced is 30 standard trees to be planted as individual trees, which is 10 more than the individual trees removed. And then there's going to be additional areas of woodland planted, which equates to 16,240 native species planted as individual whips, which are the, I don't want to call them the baby trees, but they're just the things that are protected. Within these woodland areas, a further 188 standard trees, which are larger specimens, will also be planted. Further native shrub planting is also provided, as well as additional native hedgerows. So they're showed around the southern block and the western part. So what is being replaced is more than what is being removed. And I hope that helps. So, okay.
Thank you for that, Mrs. Doyle. Right. Alison, Councillor Legg, would you like to come back in?
Thank you, Chair. Happy to hear that, but that removal is only for that phase, isn't it? I was wanting an overall figure of it, because there's still no mention of the woodland that was removed in the first phase that we did say we would replace. So, hence, this was why I want the woodland replaced, and not with whips, please, with substantial trees. Thank you.
Okay, from what we have just heard, we have got some substantial areas in that hatched part, which has woodland in there. And obviously we've been told we've got standards going in as well as the whips on that bit. Would either of you two like to comment further?
I think the only additional comments from me is obviously that this scheme not only includes the residential parcels, but also the strategic landscaping for the whole of the site. So the National Forest Company are commenting based on this landscaping scheme being appropriate for the 950 dwellings. They're not commenting in isolation with the 288 dwellings, because these are the strategic landscaping details that are being provided. And obviously the only other comment is that the National Forest have provided some initial comments when they first replied about making sure that there's appropriate widths between the planting to make sure that they've got the best chance of success. So the developer has amended the scheme and changed the planting, and we've now got to a position that the National Forest Company they consider in their professional opinion that what's going in is acceptable. So thank you, Chair.
Councillor Legg, are you slightly more happy with that response?
No, not really, thank you.
Okay. I'm going to move on. I've got Councillor Hall and then Councillor McKinnon next.
If I can just stick with the subject that we've been on, try and finish it off. So if this was an application, full application today, then biodiversity net gain of 10% would apply, wouldn't it? So would this scheme meet that test if it were a fresh application today?
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I think if it was a full plan application, we'd be seeking the guidance from the relevant ecological bodies as to how that application meets the policies in the current local plan, rather than the ecological issues which were considered at the time. So I can't give you that advice without the help of the professional consultees in relation to ecology.
I was hoping you were just going to say yes, because I think it would. but based on my very layman's assessment of it. Yeah, so I think I understand what Councillor Legg's saying about wanting to get that woodland that was replaced, the millennium woodland that was paid for by the council to plant those trees in the 2000, and then they were removed in 2013 or soon after. I understand that completely, but I think that what we've heard about the 118 specimens plus thousands of whips more than compensates for what's been removed off the site. So I'm happy with the response I've had on that. There was a just kind of move on to a different subject. So there was a discussion this morning, I think it's Councillor Sylvester raised the pepper potting of affordable houses within this phase of the site, and I think in one area there are 16 neighbouring properties that back onto each other, and I think that we need to understand why that's considered acceptable when the SPD says that 8 should be the maximum, and the purpose of that SPD was to try to prevent ghettos effectively. It's more to do with that than it is to do with what they look like on site, because I mean I understand that, and we've worked very hard to get affordable houses to look like the market houses on site, and so it's not about that for me. It's about whether it's going to cause any social issues, behavioural issues, that sort of thing. So if we could have an answer to that, please.
Okay.
And then we need to talk about flooding.
Thank you for that, Councillor Hall. So from our office team, would you like to respond?
Yeah, in terms of that particular issue, I mean, there is a 50-50 split between social rented and shared ownership on that site, so there is a slight distinction there in terms of any issues of ghettoisation. Obviously, it's a scheme where we have sought the views of the council strategic housing team, given the obvious non-compliance with what's stated in the SPD. So the council's housing team have responded, and they've raised no objections to this particular issue. And we've seen from the slides in terms of the design of the properties, I know that's not your specific point, but that all is something else to consider in terms of whether or not that non-compliance with that part of the SPD is so significant as to how much weight you want to apply to it. So from officers' perspective, I think we flagged up that it doesn't fully comply with the SPD, but given that the housing officers comfortable with what's being proposed and the good designs on the scheme, we don't think that the application ought to be refused on that basis.
Okay, would you like to come in as well, Alan?
sorry, I was going to add, if we actually went to the slide, that the actual, whilst the buildings themselves are in a area of the site, actually in streetscape terms, if you actually look at it's on one, if you pop that back up. Yeah, no, just
I can try, but.
If you want to come out and go back into it.
Is that the easiest thing to do?
Escape from the slides.
Sometimes if you go work down the side, it's quicker, yeah.
So you want to go back on.
It's one of these three, is it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's that one.
Slide one.
Yeah, that's it. The point I was going to make is that actually when you look at the actual areas concerned, you're actually on two sides, they actually form part of streetscapes before the market housing. So the context of the affordable housing isn't seen as a group of properties languishing out the way, because on the cul-de-sac on the left-hand side there faces other market housing, and then you've also got the whole body of affordable housing along that whole run of market houses as well. So the thing is, while this happens on occasions as well, is to mix it in the streetscape with the market housing, but to be in relatively close proximity, is often the RSLs are quite keen for that, for a simple reason of management. So you're always caught between the rock and a hard place of trying to deliver something as part of an integral streetscape, and then wanting to put things in a similar sort of location. So in this case, that's I think the balance that's been struck.
Thank you for that, Alan. Right. Councillor Hall, have you finished on that point, and I'll move forward. I have Councillor McKiernan and then Councillor Faulkner.
Thank you. I was hoping to follow on from Councillor Hall about the biodiversity and the trees, so if we can go back to that. I think some of us are concerned about the biodiversity gap. So you're going to take down trees, which we heard this morning have got wildlife like owls in them and have made them homeless in effect. And you've also got the lady just before that spoke about the removal of hedgerows, which seem to be against some regulations. So the National Forest, you know, their remit is to increase tree cover. It's not really their remit to worry about how old or the biodiversity in that sense. So I'm just really concerned that we've lost that biodiversity, and it may be lost for 10, 20 years. So what is the justification for the removal of the hedgerows and the removal of the mature trees? And also on the map we were looking at this morning, there are particular trees at the southern end,
right,
which are not near the house. I'm struggling to understand why they need to be taken down at all.
Okay. Just bear with. Would you like to come in, James?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I mean, in terms of the loss of trees, obviously we've talked about that. I think the National Forest remit is more than just trying to get planted on the sites. They do have other, trying to link into other ecological issues as well. So I don't think that the National Forest Company would be supporting a plan application if they thought it resulted in a lack of biodiversity or a significant issue to ecological issues on the site. So I think that's obviously a point that we've tried to make previously. The scheme that's come forward is in accordance with what has been approved as part of the illustrative master plan at the outline stage in terms of the connections to the wider area. So I think if the developer had come in and was no longer proposing those linkages to the wider area, we'd be asking the developer why this scheme didn't show appropriate cycle and footpath links to the wider area. So it's already been established at that outline stage that we're expecting this scheme to come forward and to form those linkages in the surrounding area to make sure that we've got a scheme that connects in from a design perspective and is also sustainable, so that residents on this scheme can get to X, Y, and Z by using natural routes and not having to walk along main roads, etc. So what's been submitted is as per that outline planning permission.
And in terms of the ecology, we've obviously gone through our requisite partners, consultees, and they're quite happy with what has been submitted for this full landscape part.
Yeah, we haven't got any outstanding issues from statutory or non-statutory consultees in relation to ecological concerns on the site.
Sorry, Councillor McKinnon, I was just going to pick up on the, because there was a mention of the hedgerow regulations being contravened. That was picked up actually on that's actually on the update sheet. When you've got a planning application in front of you, you're considering the whole thing, so you're considering a balance. And removal of parts of hedgerows or as has been discussed, removing trees and replacing trees, they're all part of that bigger planning balance. You don't need separate hedgerow regulations consent because they're part of this planning application in front of you.
Councillor McKinnon, would you like to come back in?
Thanks. You didn't answer the question about the two particular trees near the boundary. But I don't think it says anywhere where the biodiversity is going to be maintained, how those creatures that have now gone are going to come back within a reasonable period, say 2 or 3 years, rather than 10 or 20. Where have we got that reassurance?
Thank you for that, Councillor. Okay, James?
Yeah. I mean, page 22 of the main report is the section in relation to ecology. So if I just sets out that the original outline approval was accompanied by, you know, numerous ecological surveys that specified the areas where habitats of merit were to be retained. There's conditions in relation to the outline with regards to the management of open spaces and the need for further survey work. So, as I said, I think these wider issues of where the most important ecological and landscape issues on the site have been considered under the outline application, that permission has granted residential parcels in various parts of the site, and this application has come forward in accordance with those details. There's no outstanding technical issues from consultees or statutory and non-statutory consultees in relation to ecology surveys, lack of biodiversity, etc. So that on that basis, that's why we're recommending approval.
Can I just very quickly on that point about the ecological? I think we do need to look at the outline, because obviously there'll be conditions on there that clearly show that we've got to show that net gain at that particular point. So that has been covered out by there. We're looking at a reserve matters application here, so we're looking at the detail that's coming through in terms of what's going to be there on the ground, but all of the bigger overarching things will have been done as part of the outline stage.
Yeah.
Sorry, just one more point. Yeah, it's condition 18 on the original outline approval requires each phase to submit a landscape management plan. So there's a need for the biodiversity to be managed in that part of the site. So the outline planning permission isn't silent in terms of issues of ecology, and those details would need to come forward on this phase of development as per the other ones.
Okay, Councillor McKinnon.
Thanks. I'm glad to hear that, but I do think as different phases come forward, different details emerge, and I think we have to be very careful because we've got other sites like the Stapen Hill allotments where, you know, badgers apparently now have no home, and that was not foreseen. So I just think we have to be very careful in what we're talking about, and we do have to take the details into account. And it might not be a place of merit, a habitat of merit, but there are still thousands of creatures that live there.
I think we can take as a point that those things will be coming forward. Anyway, they'd have been looked at each stage of this, and if this was granted, obviously we've got conditions that have got to be met for it to go forward. If you chose to, we could put forward an informative. Obviously, I'll be led by us as a committee what you would like to put forward.
Can we do that and let the officers word it?
I can just come back there. Yeah, we have got an informative in terms of biodiversity enhancements in the report at the minute. It's number 6 on page 29.
Would you just like to read that out just for
yep.
those that haven't got theirs to hand?
It says, the applicant stroke developer is advised that when details are submitted for biodiversity enhancements, they're the enhancements which are required as part of the outline approval. Swift bricks and sparrow terraces should be included across the development to provide a suitable habitat for nesting birds as well as hedgehog highways.
Is there anything you would like to add further on to that?
I think it needs to be wider than those specific things.
Have you got an idea what needs to be added in to that for a further informative?
I'm just a bit uncomfortable with this idea that only habitats of merit should be saved, that we should have something about making sure that there's a home for all species, and if it's been lost it needs to be replaced like for like within a reasonable time frame.
Okay. Would anyone else like to come in on this point? I've got Councillor Legg.
Thank you. I'd like to come in on the point and say, yeah, well done, but could I add to it and ask for a bee brick, please, in every property?
We're just going to say that's fine, that'll get added to the list.
Yes, I would like that added to the list, please.
That's okay, we'll do.
Councillor Barker, I think you had your hand up as well for this point.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I can't argue with anything that's been said so far along that side. One of the things we seem to have lost is sort of the habitat, say, for the owls and the bigger things. You know, I mean, there are artificial owl habitats, owl boxes or whatever, that could be a temporary measure until the trees grow large enough to accommodate them. And I also, it's a side issue to it, but it's the vital issue according to the local residents, who said we needed a cycle path between nowhere and nowhere that takes out a hedge? You know, I mean, it sounds like they've done it to comply with what we said we wanted to be connectivity, but there's no point in connecting nothing to nothing, you know. I mean, I'm a cyclist, same as Alan, but, you know, you've got to want to go somewhere. There's no point in just taking a hedge out just to say you've provided connectivity, and that's a bit what it looks like and what it sounds like. So can we understand the reasoning for that? Thank you.
Right. I was going to just say, do we want to finish putting the informatives together and then discuss the hedgerow issue separately?
I just thought the hedgerow issue was actually part of it, because if the hedgerow was maintained, you're keeping some of that biodiversity in place without removing it for no reason. That was the only reason I brought it up now.
Okay.
Sorry, Chair. Thank you.
Right. I'll leave our officers to answer that.
Yeah, I mean, just to note that these gaps which are made in the hedgerow, they are, you know, small gaps in terms of providing footways and cycleways. We're not completely obliterating the whole of the hedgerow to provide a vehicular access, for example. So the connections obviously would take us from an existing part of the site to the west, where you've got Outwoods Lane, across the site through existing areas of landscaping to get to Kitling Greaves Lane. Obviously, members of the planning committee in 2013, when they considered this planning application, sorry, the 2013 application that was approved, that's included with a requirement for the developer to provide a cycleway across the site. So that application would have been accompanied by an evidence base and a design access statement, which would have set out the need for this connectivity, which obviously members at the time have approved. So, you know, it leaves the developer in a difficult position now in terms of making sure that they need to comply with that. And as I said earlier, that, you know, there is a need to provide these connections for cyclists and for existing residents to get to different parts of the site without having to go in a roundabout route across Bee Mill Road, for example. So, I'm not sure of that.
Yeah, I was just going to add from a strategic point of view in terms of the cycle network. I think there was just a little bit of a misnomer. Sort of, I think the sort of allegation or the point made was it doesn't link one cycle track to another cycle track. But that's quite common in this country. You frequently don't have separate cycle tracks. But on where you bring new schemes forward and the opportunities there to bring separate cycle tracks, then you do that, and that's clearly the ethos that's gone here. I mean, it is a cycle track that leads to somewhere. It provides access across the site and then onto Outwards Lane. So it's not like a road to nowhere. It just takes you to, it just gives you a traffic-free environment across the site, and then obviously you are back onto the public roads, but that's at least you're doing as a separation through the actual application site itself.
Councillor Barker.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Yes, well, thank you for that explanation. If that's what we said in 2013 before our time, then fair enough, and I can see Alan's point about it, you know, going from there. But can we have the minimum amount of disturbance between the two, as James said, really?
Okay.
I think is the best we can ask for under the circumstances.
So from what I'm hearing in terms of informatives, what the committee are asking for is replacement of habitats where lost and minimal disruption of any kept habitats that we have at the moment, something along those lines. And we can leave the wording to our office team.
Because it's not conditioned.
So yeah, it's an informative.
It's an informative, yeah.
The B-brick. The B-brick might be a separate one we can do with the habitat and then an informative on B-bricks.
Owl boxes. Yes, yeah. Owl boxes as well, an informative.
Yep, so three informatives on that one.
Yeah.
Okay. That we've almost ironed out that. Can I have a proposal then for the three informatives, one with wording left to our office team, one for the bee bricks, one for an owl box, and one for keeping our habitats and replacing lost habitats? Councillor McKiernan, can I have a seconder for that then, please? Councillor Barker. Right, all those in favour of adding those informatives then, please? Unanimous? So that has been carried. I have got Councillor Faulkner next.
Thank you, Chair. It's reference to the flooding issue that I mentioned this morning. We actually say in the consultation responses and representations that 5.5 SCC flood risk team, no responses received. 5.1.1 Environment Agency, no response received. And we go on to say in our informative that 15.3, the last sentence, however, it is noted that no objections have been received to the application from any of the relevant drainage bodies. Well, I'm not surprised because we haven't received a response. So how can we actually base a judgment that says then the proposal is therefore considered to be acceptable in terms of flood risk and drainage?
Thank you, Councillor Faulkner. Would you like to come forward then with it?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. So there is a condition on the outline approval in relation to foul and surface water schemes that need to be submitted within each phase of development. So it's not uncommon that the lead local flood authority wouldn't respond to the reserve matters application, which seeks to establish the number of properties, what they look like, where they're going to be located, because they have got the comfort that they know that detailed drainage information needs to be submitted as part of a condition on the original outline approval. So the outline approval would effectively prevent works legally taking place on the site until the lead local flood authority was satisfied that those detailed schemes in terms of size of drainage, where attenuation basins are going to be going, what hydro breaks might be put forward, where the permeable paving might be, attenuation tanks, etc. That information all needs to be drawn up by the developer, submitted as part of the discharge condition on the outline approval and agreed by the lead local flood authority prior to works taking place.
Can I respond?
Yes, you can, Councillor Faulkner.
We were informed this morning that there are question marks with the lead flood authority that need to be replied to. can we seek assurance from officers that those will be responded to and replied to before, and those conditions met before we actually release the development?
Sorry, yes, I was going to say that, yes, clearly in terms of discharge of conditions, just to be clear to members, officers wouldn't discharge conditions on a technical drainage matter without the agreement of the relevant authority. So if the Flood Risk Authority are continued to object to any schemes that are submitted as a discharge of condition, officers don't act on their own back.
This morning, our officer said that there were question marks over this scheme and that the lead flood authority was being requested to respond to some questions on this. And what I'm asking is that we actually make sure that we get those responses back in a positive way rather than not get them back before those conditions are met.
Oh, yes, that's what I'm saying. Absolutely. We will not discharge any conditions without the lead flood authority being given their say-so. So we will just keep going back until such time as the lead authorities say that they are happy with the scheme.
I have Councillor Lamb and Councillor Legg next, please.
Yeah, things. I mean, firstly, just going back to the hedge, I mean, I understand the concept about increasing access, but that seems to ignore the fact that Outwoods Road is a single lane track, which is very, very badly maintained. So I've run up and down there several times. So I don't exactly see it's a health and safety sensible exit route anyway. And if you've got already one bridle path in there, why can't you do as suggested, bring those paths into that bridle path rather than creating two more breaks in the hedge?
Thank you, Councillor Lamb. Would you like to come forward on that, James?
Yeah, I mean, I think officers have presented the view in terms of what was required as part of the outline application, the need to keep the disturbance to the hedgerow minimal and the requirement for having good connectivity with the surrounding area. So I think it just effectively comes down to a matter for members to make their mind upon that. Officers are quite clear in terms of what's been submitted is in accordance with policy and is required by the original outline consent.
Can I just ask whereabouts that is in the original outline return? Because I'm struggling to find it in the documents.
Yeah, what was approved as part of the original outline approval was an illustrative master plan that included a number of arrows in terms of connectivity to and from the site. So within, say, this part of the site, for example, you would expect this scheme to connect up with the with Field Lane here to provide access, you know, from Field Lane to within and without the development. So that illustrative master plan will show a connection there. Similarly, it shows two connections to Outwoods Lane, one for the cycle path in this part of the site where it's being proposed and one in this part of the site for the public right-of-way so that it connects up with the existing right-of-way without having to walk along Bee Mill Road. So,
can you just display that document then so we can have a look at it? The original one from the original application.
I don't think we're going to be able to...
Well, that's why I can't see it. That's why I couldn't see it before. It's that. It doesn't show anything in terms of footpaths or cycle paths or anything.
Yeah.
I can understand perhaps developers come up with some different ideas, but I can't see it as being something that the committee actually agreed to. Perhaps Greg knows more. I don't.
Councillor Hall, would you like to go in on that one?
Certainly can, yeah. And I can confirm that that's what we did approve in 2013. Connectivity was important. Cycling and footways. There are two other members on this committee who I think were here that day as well.
So I think we need to take it as read that from the outline we had got the connectivity issues as discussed obviously with Councillor Hall as well.
Yeah, I think there's obviously an issue then with not putting any money in to improve Outwoods Road to take account of the bad standard that's in. And I certainly wouldn't go cycling down there at all for safety reasons. A couple of other questions then. Points from earlier I was asking. I was just interested in how many houses have actually been built so far or how many we've got projected in this current year. That would be interesting if we can get that. Secondly, I take some positive feedback from what the agent said about the school coming forward because I think that's important because the whole point of having a sustainable location is that you've got the things like the schools and stuff in it. So to finally actually see the first bit of positivity I've heard about a school in all these applications, I think is very useful. So I certainly perhaps we can get some more detail outside this meeting, but that's a positive thing. But there was a couple of other 106 things that I was interested in. One of them was that it talked about formation of a community liaison group. And I just wondered, did that actually take place? And has that actually been meeting? And is that actually put input into these discussions? And then there was things like, at what stage do some of the other things kick in, like bus routes and things like that? I know it's not directly related to this application, but I'm just interested.
Would you like to come forward on that, Sherry?
Yeah, you're right about the liaison group, and unfortunately I've not been able to obtain that information for you as regards to where we are with it, but it clearly does say that that should have, once they've commenced development on site, that within 6 months they should have this group that moves forward with the parish council and the district council and the developer. So again, outside the meeting I can take that up and come back to you on that, because obviously, as you say, it doesn't particularly affect any decision making, particularly on this development. So that is just an aside. And then I think, did you just ask, was it about the health? Was it the triggers for the, oh, for the bus provision again? Again, that's on occupation. So we need to get some houses occupied before that comes forward. I can see that here. It's just as soon as of any phase. So I think at the moment, I imagine that the developers is in contact with the county as regards to how they're going to. I think they've got to put some sort of plan together. I did just read that. It's quite a large. It's 125 pages long, this document. So please bear with us. It is clearly in there. But I just wanted to just confirm that the bus service route is there and is going to be, it looks, be provided. It's just not until occupation. So that's why you're not seeing information come forward. And again, Councillor, I'm more than happy to take that up with County and come back to you and give you that information at the meeting.
Yeah, it's just a danger that we put things in 106 and then we lose them. And we're not sort of perhaps following through, that some of these things that we actually agreed to as good ideas are actually followed through.
Would any of our officers like to come back on the numbers built? Do we have that record at all?
I've got the. There's no buildings, there's no dwellings occupied, and most of the triggers relate to occupation. So if Sherry can do some more work in terms of the triggers, then hopefully we can give members some comfort in terms of that element of it.
Thank you. I have got Councillor Legg and then Councillor Toon to come in.
Thank you, Chair. Could I go back to the parking, please? And the spaces that were missing, please. Can I ask, I know in the parking SPD we don't offer spaces for flats, but I think they need a parking space if we want people not to steal other people's parking spaces. I think we should have adequate parking for a flat, please.
So from our understanding, we're missing one parking space, aren't we? We have a disagreement.
Hopefully I can respond to this. So yeah, this is the area of the site where there's a shortfall in terms of the number of spaces. The shortfall is one space, which is a visitor space for the flats. There is sufficient parking for each of the flats which is being provided, but there isn't the additional visitor space. So as I mentioned earlier, there is an opportunity here in respect of some of the wider landscaping, that if members felt it was important to get the extra visitor space and they were comfortable with delegating that to the officers, that we could go back to the developer and seek an amendment within this part of the site in order to provide the additional space, such that the scheme was fully compliant with the parking SPD.
Councillor Legg.
Can I suggest that if we have space, could each flat have a visitor space, please?
Yeah, I think we'd have to have regard to the advice in the SPD, which seeks for one visitor space per three flats. So
Yeah, I don't think we wouldn't be in a. We can seek amendments to the plan to ensure that it's compliant with the SPD, but we wouldn't be able to seek additional parking over and above the guidance in the SPD. So.
Right, Councillor Legg.
Can I just ask then, there's four flats, have they got four parking spaces then?
Yes.
And just one visitor space?
The visitor space at the moment is not there.
It's
correct.
Not there.
Yeah.
So can we have a visitor space then? Or a less abled person's space, please?
So would you be happy for us to delegate to our officers that they get the one additional space with the applicants?
Yes, one space, but to make sure it is a space as well for people who are less able. Thank you.
Okay, we'll put that forward if you want to propose that. We'll go for a seconder.
Yes, could I propose that, please?
A seconder for the second park, for the extra visitor parking space then. Councillor McKiernan. All those in favour of asking for this additional parking space, raise their hands.
Unanimous.
Thank you, committee. That's carried. Okay, I have now got Councillor Toon to go.
Yeah, I was just wondering, we put all these informatives in, like Swift Bricks, Edgehog Roots, Sparrow Terraces, now Be Bricks, lighting. Do we ever go back and see if it's actually being done? I mean, one brick, isn't enough. So, I mean, if they're only putting one brick on a whole build, that's no good. So are we actually going back and finding out if they're putting these things into practice?
In terms of evidence in previous applications, I know it's not specific to this one, but if we can ask. Yeah.
Yes, I mean, actually quite most of the developments that this sort of level of detail has been asked for aren't really that far on. But where we have done, yes, it's followed up, for the simple fact is that you've got the condition to discharge, so therefore you're picking out specific properties. And yes, the developers put them in because it's a relatively cheap thing to do, basically.
So in terms of the rest of this site then, have we had evidence from the builds that we've got so far?
I haven't personally been there, but it's quite early build, isn't it? So it'll be whatever was agreed. Probably we haven't agreed these things on the earlier parts.
Has that helped slightly to answer your question, Councillor Toon?
Yeah, because I do think it's important, because this site in particular was completely farmland and woodland, and it was a complete habitat for wildlife, and so I think particularly on this build then we need to chase up everything about it, because the wildlife we've lost on this particular site must be horrendous.
If I just offer it to Alan.
Yes, sir, I was just going to come back on one thing, is that the one good thing about this application that's in front of you is you've got the strategic landscaping that's part of this. So therefore you are covered on. So basically, when they're going away and they're doing the discharge of the condition and the informative, that it's all bringing forward as part of that strategic landscape in this phase.
Thank you, Councillor Legg. Would you like to come in again?
Thank you. All the landscaping that's going in, is it going to have a maintenance contract, and how long will it run for, please? And if it's only for 3 years, can I extend it for five, please?
OK, I'll pass that over to James.
Yeah, there's a, as I mentioned earlier, there is a condition on the original outline approval for a landscape management plan to be submitted across the site. So that requires both the management of open space and also biodiversity management. So there'll be an opportunity within
the details that get submitted in relation to that for the maintenance regimes for different parts, you know, for different types of landscape that comes forward. So we will be consulting with the National Forest Company and the other consultees when that information comes in to ensure that we get suitable maintenance periods and that the details are acceptable.
Thank you. Are you happy with that, Councillor Legg?
As long as it gets 5 years, yes.
I'm sure our office team will do what they can. Right, any further points that we need to come back? Councillor Legg.
It's important that the reason I asked for 5 years rather than the normal three is that the trees get cared for. Now, can I condition that if they're not going to take if we're not going to take 5 years, can I condition it to make them take the 5 years, please?
Right, we'll go on the advice of our officer teams. If you would like to come forward on that, please.
So we're going to be governed by the outline approval. So if whatever the outline approval requires, because that's part of, that's the delivery of the landscaping and the management plan. So we can't revisit the outline approval, because what you're dealing with today is the details of the where everything is, the landscaping conditions. We can't revisit them. They're already in place.
That's fine then, because the last time we visited this application, I did ask for 5 years. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further points that we want to raise? Councillor Hall.
Sorry, I know we're all getting tired, but I didn't hear the answer, specific question about two of the trees that are on the white land on the plan. Why does this application seek to remove them when there's no proposal to do anything else with that piece of land?
Okay. We see the two that we mean towards the blank space.
Yeah, I don't know the specific reason as to why those trees are proposed to be removed. I don't know whether or not the chair would be happy for the developer to comment on those two particular trees.
Do you have an answer for that? We can just raise with our committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you. Just briefly, those two trees are Category U trees, so they were deemed to be very poor quality. I think one of them has half fallen down from reading. It's noted in the Arbor Cultural Survey. It's nothing to do with the development itself. It's just purely they're poor quality trees that are not going to last much longer.
Okay. Thank you so much for that. Councillor Hall?
Thank you, Chairman. I'd like to propose permit, subject to the conditions in the report and the informatives that we have voted on.
Okay. Thank you for that, Councillor Hall. Do we have a seconder for that then, please? Councillor Ashcroft. Any further consultation we need to have? No, then I'll move to the vote. All those in favour to permit as outlined? Okay. All those in favour then, please. We're unanimous on that? That has been carried. Might I suggest we have just a very short break to top up our cups or take a comfort break? Thank you.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, if I can ask you to take your seat, please. Councillor Sylvester, can you seat, please? Thank you all. I felt that we needed that little bit of a break to just stretch our legs from that. If we move back onto our agenda items then, please. Item 6 is that we request members have considered the appeals received and determined. Thank you. And 7 is requesting that members have considered the planning permission circulated. Thank you. I am now going to move into the private part. So, I move that in accordance with Section 100A4 of the Local Government Act 1972, the press and public be excluded from the remainder of the meeting as it is likely in the view of the nature of the business to have been transacted or the nature of the proceedings that there would be disclosed exempt information as defined in the paragraphs of Part 1 of Schedule 12A of the Act, indicated in brackets before each item number on the agenda. Thank you.